When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Off and running in today's edition of Football Full Circle right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Sirius Channel 159. Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel taking you around the NFL for the next hour. The long off season, Scott, the calm before the storm. We're about 3 months away from the start of the 2024-2025 season. Doesn't get better than this. I don't know if you saw yesterday the NFL with the $1 billion settlement where they lose to DirecTV customers. Potentially a little bit of a hit for the NFL, but guess what? The train continues to move on. YouTube this year and beyond. It is intriguing, though, that the NFL did lose that case yesterday.
It is. Now, some of that money's coming to me. I'm sure you too, right? I mean, we all had to do it. Right? We all had DirecTV and then had to, you know, the only way we could have seen these games. So I am surprised. And, you know, if you read the law, for whatever reason, damages can be tripled under the antitrust law. So it could end up being almost, well, over $14 billion. Again, I don't know how much that's going, but they're going to appeal. And they could drag this thing on forever and forever and forever. If they really wanted to, I suppose. But I do find it interesting that they lost. You know, it seems to me that they offered up a service that everybody wanted. To be honest, I'm not trying to take sides here. And me being the consumer, I'll take some money if you want to throw some my way. But seems to me they offered up games that you wouldn't normally be able to see a part of a package. I think the fact that it was exclusive on DirecTV is what really kind of screwed them. But $4.7 billion in damage. Not bad.
Yeah, it is. It's incredible when you think about the number. And I think I saw Warren Sharp, who's part of the Sports Grid Network, come out and say it might be like $1,900 per customer. $1,938 was the breakdown.
Really?
But that's at the $4.7 billion valuation, right? So if you want to take three times that, according to your number, in the $14 billion, maybe you're talking more closer to, you know, almost $6,000 or $5,800. So we'll see how that plays out. You might be 80 by the time you get that money, Scotty, but it doesn't matter. It's coming your way somehow, some way, you know, in the future. And I guess it poses the bigger question in regards to where the NFL is headed, right? Because it's all about the bigger and better deal. We see that starting week one, Green Bay and Philadelphia play their opening game in Brazil, and we know about the NFL and their efforts to always try and get and capture as much market share as possible, and even maybe eventually a team moving to potentially London or overseas. I wouldn't want to see that. I'm not a fan of that. I like the home field. I like what they have, but this is where we're headed, not just in potentially, you know, the NFL, but even in the college ranks as well, with the college game and season starting out in Dublin.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised eventually somewhere down the line. You know what they really need, Joe? They don't necessarily need more teams, although that's part of the equation. What they need is a bigger talent base. You know, I think we've stretched the limits in college football. I mean, it, you know, yeah, 32 teams, how many really have half a decent quarterbacks? They got to continue to open up avenues to get more people involved in the game, i.e. overseas. And then, you know, if it means putting three or four teams, setting up, like, I don't think they could ever really put one team over there, but they could set up a division over there. This way, when you go fly to Europe, you're going to be over there for a 2 or 3 game road trip, excuse me, and then, you know, come back home versus just fly all the way over there for one game. But I can definitely see it happening. I, you know, I'm not a big fan of it either. You want to put a team up in Canada? You want to put a team in Mexico? Okay, great. But over in Europe, really? I mean, boy, again, yeah, it's the never-ending question, Joe, of just when is it enough? You know, yeah, is there ever enough money that you can make? We just say, no. Okay, you know what? Just status quo. Just keep it the way
no,
it is.
No, it's not. You know, as long as you have publicly traded companies and you always have TV rights, and now, you know, in regards to college with the NIL and name, image, likeness, it's all about, you know, the BBD. And I say that it's not just for the NFL, but Goodell is as big of a pig as anybody. Prior to, you know, signing that extension, what was he getting? $44 million a year just to represent the NFL owners, and it's not going to change anytime soon. So if he can make 60 or 70, you know, in regards to expansion and just trying to elevate the product, that's what his job is, right? And that's what the owners want. Just give us more revenue, give us more money. Yeah, we'll give some to the players, you know, but we want to keep, you know, 90% of it. And that's all it comes down to, is how much can we capture for ourselves in our pockets? We'll see. One of those owners, too, was the Khan family, right? They own the Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't know if you saw, they signed a deal with the city of Jacksonville. I think it's $1.4 billion to you know, help solidify the stadium and everything surrounding the Jacksonville Jaguars. But Khan came out yesterday and said, you know, the way they ended the regular season last year, 1-5 down the stretch, they missed the playoffs. It was an organizational failure. And I did want to pose this question to you, is I take it that Doug Peterson's potentially on the hot seat. Had great success in year number two with Trevor Lawrence. They win a playoff game. They start 8-3 last year. They limped to a 1-5, you know, ending, miss out on the playoffs. They signed Trevor Lawrence to a boatload of money this offseason. If Doug Peterson can't get this team to potentially challenge for a division title, and more importantly, a playoff appearance, maybe he's out the door in year number three.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. And back to the Europe thing for a second. You can make the case, Joe, that that is one of the NFL's biggest failures. You know, they've been playing games over in Europe for a long time now, and they still don't have a division. And just think about the potential to an advertiser. Let's just say that the advertiser is paying $1 million for a 1 minute commercial, which is, you know, small in Super Bowl standards. But let's say it's $1 million. If you go to that same advertiser and say, now your commercial is going to be running over in Europe, and there's a ton of American businesses, you know, every fast food joint in the world over in Europe. Now we're going to give you the, you know, European audience as well. How much could you charge for those advertisers? So I can't help but think that if there was a way that they would have gotten this thing done, it would have been done by now. So that's one of the rare failures, I think, from the NFL standpoint. But as far as Peterson, you can make that case, right? I mean, listen, he won a Super Bowl, but not with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Last year, colossal disappointment down the stretch, as you just mentioned, and the fact that they re-signed, you know, Trevor Lawrence. Not that he was going to be a free agent, but still they re-up with him and told the world that he's the face of the franchise, and we think he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. So if Peterson does it in that division especially, which is a mediocre division, although I think a little bit underrated, but still, when you have a last place team win the division and you don't, and then you don't win it again the next year, absolutely he can be fired.
I agree, and not only that, it's the way they lost. You know, if Trevor Lawrence was putting up huge numbers at the end of the regular season and they were still losing games and getting maybe outscored, you could say, hey, no problem. But Trevor Lawrence regressed in two games down the stretch that I could think off the top of my head. The blowout loss on the road to Cleveland and the blowout loss on the road to Tampa Bay, he was a human turnover machine. About 6 interceptions in each of those games combined. combined, right? I think it was three apiece. You can't win that way, especially when your star quarterback is turning the football over, looked a little bit inconsistent, did not look like he knew where he wanted to go with the football. And again, if he can't elevate his game and you're paying him Joe Burrow type of money, what does that say in terms of the staff? And more importantly, where you are with Trevor Lawrence. It's one thing if Trevor Lawrence duplicated what Joe Burrow did in back-to-back AFC championships and a Super Bowl appearance, but the kid's only won one playoff game, a monumental failure against Brandon Staley and Justin Herbert that had a 30-point lead. So, I mean, unless they show signs of recovery, I would think that maybe Doug Peterson is on the way out for maybe a younger head coach.
Yeah. You know, their only win last year down the stretch, 1-5, was against Carolina, and that doesn't even count. And it comes right after they went 8-3. That's the strange thing about it. And we're talking about road wins at New Orleans, at Pittsburgh, at Houston, you know, when they turned 8-3, and then they finished up only 1-5 the rest of the way.
Yeah, we will see how it plays out for the Jacksonville Jaguars this coming season. Scotty and I are just getting started. When we come back, we'll dive into potentially some win totals for the upcoming season right here on Football Full Circle. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Back on Football Full Circle, Lisi and Wetzel talking about the NFL. Not a lot going on in regards to news or notes. We touched on the Jacksonville Jaguars, their success in 2024. Also touched on the billion-dollar lawsuit settlement between DirecTV customers and customers of the NFL TV package. So we'll see how that plays out. Scotty, we did touch on some season specials on our last show in regards to, you know, some intriguing passing leaders and other props that were up for the NFL. I did want to touch on one. We didn't touch on the running backs. We touched on the quarterbacks and receivers last time. Leading rusher for 2024-2025 is really a loaded crew. You got Christian McCaffrey as the front runner at 5-1, followed by Jonathan Taylor and Breece Hall, 10-1 and 11-1 respectively. Then Saquon Barkley, new environment with Sirianni and the Philadelphia Eagles, 14-1, and Kyren Williams at 15-1, and good old Derrick Henry rounds it out in terms of the top six. 18-1 for the Baltimore Ravens. I got to be honest with you. I think Henry has the best odds at 18-1, and I probably would take a shot knowing how Baltimore wants to run the football this year.
Yeah. I mean, listen, people say that he tailed off, the last couple of years and last year in particular, and maybe. But you know what? The bottom line is he was second in rushing last year, you know, with over 1,100 yards. Number two. So if you're getting number two at 18-1, and you know Christian McCaffrey, who led last year in rushing at 1,400 yards, is an injury waiting to happen. And you're right. The way Baltimore loves to run the football, if Derrick Henry can, you know, still be as effective, even if as he was last year, I can't help but think that, you know, he's got a great chance to cash that ticket for you. I mean, 18-1, that's not bad. That's
no,
pretty darn
not
good.
It's not bad at all. I do find it intriguing when you look at the odds. Here's the one that's a head scratcher. I know the New York Jets want to run the football, but don't you have dandy Aaron Rodgers there? You know, and you know, if Aaron Rodgers is going to chuck the football all over the yard and he's going to save the New York Jets, Breece Hall at 11-1, in my opinion, is a waste of money. The way the books value Breece Hall at 11-1, it really shows you they don't think much of Aaron Rodgers then, do they? Because I just don't understand how he could be third best price and knowing that Aaron Rodgers is in that lineup, what are we doing? I mean, that makes absolutely no sense. You can't bet Breece Hall at 11-1 and then potentially say, you know what, Rodgers is going to go through his total this year.
Yeah, because you think that he won't get his carries, right? He'll get the yards average-wise, but he won't get the number of carries that you're going to need to lead the NFL. You could be effective. You could run for 100 yards, whatever the case may be, but are you really going to run enough to be the number one guy? Doesn't make sense, but, you know, there is a certain aspect of, okay, the Jets can throw the football all over the place now because of Rodgers, and that's going to open up the running game. So I understand where they're probably coming from, and it's a Jet. It's New York. You know how these goofy Jet fans in particular, you know, will bet on almost anything pertaining to their guys. So that's, you know, playing a little role in this as well. I'll tell you the one that, you know, isn't too bad. Kyren Williams. I'm looking at the numbers now. I would not have guessed Kyren Williams was number three last year in rushing for the LA Rams. I really, you would have given me 10 guesses, I wouldn't have said him.
Yeah.
But he is number he was number three, and that was in 12 games. Joe.
Yeah,
12 games. He rushed for 1,144 yards. You know, great average, 5 yards a carry. That's good as it was in the NFL. Now you're getting him. What is it, 14 to 1? 15 to 1?
Here's the only
problem. He plays
problem,
the whole
Scott.
Way? Go
well,
ahead.
Well, that's the thing. They draft Blake Corum in the third round, right? Are they going to split carries with Blake Corum and Kyren Williams, which are basically the same type of stature, right? Blake Corum is about 5'10", 5'11", same thing with Kyren Williams, right around just under 6 foot and big body type. You know, you draft Blake Corum, you plan to utilize him at least in third down situations. Does that mean Kyren gets limited carries or maybe a limited workload to preserve him potentially for a playoff run?
Maybe, you know, but I think most teams have two running backs, right? It's rarer than rare that, you know, you have one back that gets, you know, 25 carries. So I think those numbers are built in no matter who's, you know, who is back.
Here's another one. Here's another one, Scotty. Josh Jacobs at 21-1. Now, I know he's with Green Bay, right? But you got Jordan Love. We saw the success of Aaron Jones last year behind that offensive line down the stretch. He averaged 113 rushing yards per game over the last 5 games of the regular season, including the playoff win over Dallas. Could Josh Jacobs be a steal at 21-1? Even though you have Jordan Love in that offense, we know LaFleur loves offensive balance. Might not be a bad look as well.
Yeah, that's not too bad. You know, he had a bad year last year, you know, with all the off the season, you know, contract squabbles and this and that. Ended up playing only 13 games. The Raiders offense was awful, but the dude did run for over 1,600 yards. Seems like Josh Jacobs has been in the league about 30 years, and this will only be his fifth season or his sixth season. I mean, really, right? We've been hearing about Josh Jacobs for so long with all his contract issues and the Raiders and all the problems the Raiders have had. But, you know, he is only 26 years old. I mean, so theoretically, he still should be in his prime. And if the Packers made the switch, getting rid of Jones and instituting Jacobs, then you think they're going to do that because they're going to utilize this guy. So that's not a bad one. And you're going to get into shootouts, you know, with Detroit. You're going to get into shootouts with the Bears. The Bears defense stinks. The Vikings defense stinks. You know, you got really in that division, you have four pretty good offenses. If Caleb Williams can, you know, be halfway decent, the Bears offense should be good. You look at that Vikings offense. Ben and I talked about that yesterday, you know, on paper outside of the quarterback position, but all the other positions, that's going to be good. And, you know, the Lions offense is going to be good. So you look for guys that are going to be on teams that are going to need to score, and that includes running the football as well as passing.
You know, what might not be a bad look, and we could get it into it after. James Cook with the Buffalo Bills came on in the end of the regular season, did have a breakout performance as well, over 170 yards over the last 5 games. We'll see how the Buffalo Bills utilize them when we come back. More teams in the AFC and NFC right here on Football Full Circle. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Continuing the conversation, NFL talk, the long off season continues. We left off talking about rushing leaders for the upcoming year, threw out some names. One name that we didn't touch on, and I do want to touch on their actual win total for this year, is the Atlanta Falcons. And Bijan Robinson, I believe, has a 20-1 number as well, Scotty, to lead the league in rushing. I didn't think he was utilized in regards to Arthur Smith's offense enough, especially in critical red zone opportunities. You have a phenom that could just catch it and run it, and they utilized him inconsistent at times. They went to Tyler Algier more times than not. But, you know, if they're going to have success this year and get over their win total, it's not just Kirk Cousins. It is Bijan Robinson. And I look at this team overall, win total of 9.5. I mean, that's incredible to me. It really is. But Bijan potentially could have a breakout year. But as a whole, to have them minus 115 to win the South, I'm just not buying it.
You think 9.5 is low or is too high for them?
I think it's too high. I mean, here's the thing. You have a rookie coach. You have a quarterback that, yes, he compiles stats in the regular season. But, again, new team, new system, new look. A lot of pressure on Kirk Cousins right now. It's do or die. You know, if he doesn't start fast, what does that say in regards to Raheem Morris and this team overall?
Yeah, I mean, Morris not really a rookie. He was interim, so he's been around the game for a long time. My boy from Hofstra. Not a bad little schedule. They open up with 4 of the first 5 at home. You know, it's a winnable division. You know, Tampa Bay, Joe, has won that division 3 straight years.
And they're plus 290, Scotty. Plus 290.
Yeah. It's amazing. I don't think Atlanta's head and shoulders like that over Tampa Bay. It's amazing. That Tampa Bay team's getting, like, no respect. Their win total is 7.5. I mean, you would think they'd be able to get 8 wins, right? I know it's a tougher first-place schedule versus a last-place schedule. Like, the Falcons don't have a last-place one. But still, that said, I do like Tampa Bay. It'll be interesting. With Kirk Cousins, you know, wife's family around, and then drafted Penix Jr. and all the controversy that created. You have the inexperience, we'll say, head coach who clearly got the job because of his connection with Kirk Cousins. Otherwise, it would have been Belichick's job. There is a lot of pressure on this Atlanta Falcon team, but I don't know. 10-7, they get the extra home game. The NFC has the extra home game this year. They might be able to squeeze 10 wins out.
I don't know. Here's the thing, and we could talk about Tampa Bay. That Tampa Bay number, right? You mentioned they won the division 3 straight years. Okay, one was with Tom Brady where they won the Super Bowl. Do you think the 7.5 is indicative of Dave Canales moving on to Carolina and that being the success for Baker Mayfield towards the end of the regular season? Because I talk about Jordan Love. Baker Mayfield was as hot as Love, averaging around 290 passing yards per game at the end of the regular season. They had won 6 of the last 7, get the playoff win over the Eagles, challenged Detroit. Now that Dave Canales is calling plays with Bryce Young in Carolina, could that be a reason why you're seeing the drop-off? Because Evans is there. You have Baker. Todd Bowles is a veteran coach, a Super Bowl defensive coordinator, so why aren't they getting better and more respect than Raheem Morris and a quarterback that wasn't even there on that roster coming off an Achilles tendon tear?
I'll tell you, you want to know why? Because they're the only team this year, I'm pretty sure of this, not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure, they're the only team that plays all 4 conference finalists last year. They got San Francisco, Detroit, Kansas City, Baltimore on their schedule. Plus, they play Philadelphia, which should be good. Plus, they play at Dallas, which, you know, is not going to be easy. Their schedule is – see, again, that's the first-place schedule. You get those 2 extra games against first-place teams, and, boy, that can make all the difference in the world from being a last-place schedule and you got a bunch of cupcakes, or first-place schedule where you have a war night in, night out. So I think that, more than anything else, is why that number is only 7.5. I still think they'd find a way to get to 8, but that's why, because that schedule is brutal.
I'll tell you this. If it's between the quarterbacks, Kirk Cousins and Baker Mayfield, okay, I would put my money on Baker more than I would put it on Kirk. Put it this way. Baker Mayfield has more credible playoff wins than Kirk Cousins. He got the win when he was a member of the Browns over Pittsburgh in Heinz Field, and he got the victory last year over Nick Sirianni and the Philadelphia Eagles. We'll come back. We'll talk more sleeper teams for 2024.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Back on Football Full Circle, Lisi and Wetzel talking a little NFL. We left off talking about Baker Mayfield and the Tampa Bay Bucks along with the Atlanta Falcons in the NFC. Do want to touch on one more team in the NFC before we transition to some AFC teams. You know what's I looked at the number for Seattle and new head coach Mike McDonald, the defensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens that now takes over. 7.5. All these first-year coaches, for the most part, have huge numbers. And I understand they're veterans in regards to coordinators, but you look at Raheem Morris, what a 9.5 number. I think that's a pretty high number for Mike McDonald as well, 7.5. I mean, Dan Quinn only has a 6.5 number with Jaden Daniels and that, you know, foundation of offensive playmakers for the Commanders. I mean, 7.5 is a pretty high number in regards to a first-year head coach. I'm not sold on Seattle anymore. I was sold on them when Pete Carroll was there after they moved on from Russell Wilson. But I think what you see is what you get now in regards to Geno Smith. I think he's sort of plateaued in terms of his development. He's a good quarterback. He's not elite. He could have games where he throws for 300, could also have games where he could throw three picks. He's a product of the environment, and I'm not sold that that defense is all of a sudden going to do a complete 360. If you're asking me in regards to the NFC West, Scotty, last year I would put them maybe, you know, middle of the road. Now I think they're significantly behind the San Francisco 49ers and my team, the LA Rams.
Yeah, I mean, with the Rams getting better, right, they kind of like survived the hiccup of the Super Bowl, you know, fall back a couple of years, and now they seem to be able to make that run, and maybe a serious run at San Francisco. I think Arizona, I'm not the biggest Kyler Murray fan in the world, but I could see Arizona even, you know, supplanting Seattle as the third best team. Yeah, and I like Geno. I do. I think he's underrated. I think he's underappreciated is probably the best way. He's not a bad quarterback. He isn't, you know, is he going to win a Super Bowl? More than likely not. You know, probably not, unless you put him with a monster defense. But I think he's okay, but there's something lacking. You know, when they got rid of Pete, there's just, you know, the luster has been taken off Seattle. Now they're just a 500 football team, which, you know, is saying something in the NFL. There aren't that many 500 football teams, but I can see them taking a step back, and I get why it's 7.5. And, you know, even though you have the extra, again, NFC team has the extra home game, which, you know, plays a little role in some of these numbers that you're hearing. But I could see them finishing in last place, definitely.
You know, it is funny, though, like how quickly we forget that Sean McVay is a Super Bowl winning coach, right? Because you just look at the markets and you look at what he has. And I understand Stafford's been a little bit banged up. But overall, it seems like it's forgotten. You just look at where the Rams are in regards to the Super Bowl market. They're 30-1. They're behind the Dolphins, the Falcons, the Packers, the Jets, the Cowboys, the Texans. I mean, that's a long laundry list, and they won it two years ago. I mean, it is intriguing to think that they've developed young talent like Puka Nacua and, your point, Kyren Williams, and they're not even picked by a majority to challenge for an NFC championship.
Yeah, that is pretty wild. The NFL, Joe, you get some decent numbers. Like, if you look at the other sports, yeah, you could find a flyer here or there. But for the most part, the teams that are in the top 2, 3, 4, those are the teams that are going to win, right? You really can't make a case for other clubs. NFL, I mean, even the Pittsburgh Steelers at 50-1. Look at the teams that made the playoffs last year. Tampa Bay, 55-1. I mean, they were a final drive away from going to the NFC championship game. They had the ball down one score against Detroit. You know, Pittsburgh Steelers, playoff team, 50-1. I mean, you're getting good teams at monster prices. Cleveland Browns, playoff team, 40-1. And that's with a backup quarterback. And you mentioned that the Rams at 30-1. So you have halfway decent teams in the NFL, and you get better numbers for some reason. And the NFL is the one league where you can kind of come out of the blue and the Houston Texans and make a run for not only a playoff spot but maybe a Super Bowl. So
I agree.
I think the Rams are dangerous. They are a pretty good team. They get their running game figured out. They've dealt with a bunch of injuries. With Puka, if he could continue to shine after last year's great year out of the blue, right? Defense plays well. Would Aaron Donald ever come back if he realized, hey, this Rams team?
But they're never the same player, right? They're never,
yeah.
You know, after you walk away and you might come back, you lose that competitive edge. I did mention the AFC, and I'll say this. There's one team I'm high on in regards to win total, and it's the Las Vegas Raiders, and I'll tell you why. I'm not buying into Harbaugh this year. I buy into him long-term in regards to him being able to turn around that franchise, but I do believe there's going to be growing pains. I believe that, he's got to weed out those players. They were a glass house as it related to physicality, especially from a defensive perspective. But you have Gardner Minshew. You have Aiden O'Connell there. You have Devontae Adams. You have Zamir White that came on. Max Crosby and that defense really stepped up. They beat up on the likes of, teams like the Chargers. They beat the Chiefs in Arrowhead at the end of the regular season. And you're going to tack a 6.5 win total when potentially, Scotty, this is the second best team in the conference on paper. I think that's doable, that Las Vegas, maybe they miss out on the playoffs, but 8-9 is not out of the realm of possibility with that foundation.
Yeah, and they improved their defense, getting our guy Christian Wilkins from the Dolphins.
I know. Terrible signing, meaning by Miami letting him go, but that's besides the point.
Yeah. Tough schedule, but you're right. If you buy into San Diego or L.A., the Chargers not being any good this year, which I could understand, then okay. Seven wins is not that many. There are only a handful of teams that didn't get at least seven wins last year. And I don't think the Raiders, like you said, are going to be that bad. Minshew was, a couple of drives away from leading the Colts into the postseason. So I'll give him credit for being a halfway decent quarterback. Not great, but not awful. He should be. They should be able to challenge. Like I said, one less home game, but they should be able to challenge to get 7-1. That's actually not a bad little play. You always look for the best teams, right? But sometimes it's the worst teams with the worst numbers that actually are better betting opportunities.
Well, here's the thing, too. I think Sean Payton and Denver are in a complete rebuild. Right, whether they go with Bo Nix or Jarrett Stidham,
they play the AFC North, though, Joe. They do. I'm looking at they play four tough teams in the AFC North.
I understand, but you gotta gauge it for what it is. They beat the best team in football in their house at the end of the regular season. I mean, that was a dominant effort, and Aiden O'Connell threw for about 3 yards in that matchup when they were basically 12.5-point dogs. They're plus 340, Scotty, to make the playoffs. I mean, minus 470. I mean, plus 340, so you're getting almost 4-1 on them. I mean, if they
AFC's tough. To make the playoffs, you might be able to get 7 wins. You might be able to talk me into that. But playing the AFC North and playing Kansas City twice, the AFC, NFC South.
Pittsburgh, they can beat Cleveland on a given day. You can never say never.
On a given day, So they split those two. They're not winning that many games on the road, right? I mean, are they going to beat our Dolphins in Miami? They got at Cincinnati. They have at Tampa Bay. You like to see those Tampa Bay games at home, but obviously you got to split them. So they got to win in New Orleans.
Yeah,
they got a better Jacksonville team.
I don't think Dennis Allen is that good of a head coach. All right, so you're going to say no. All right, it's possible. All right, well, then let's take it to Cleveland, because here's another team that made it to the playoffs last year with old man Joe Flacco, and they're plus 136 to make the playoffs in 2024. I mean, here's the thing. If Deshaun Watson can give you 80% of the productivity that he had in Houston, they're going to be an 11-win football team. I'll take that bet right here, right now. Cleveland's back in the playoffs. Would you say yes?
Yes. I think Cleveland's an outside chance for the Super Bowl. I'm going all in on my guy, Deshaun Watson, this
year. We'll talk about it. Coming right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
All right, continuing the conversation, we left off talking about Deshaun Watson and the Cleveland Browns. Scotty and I both believe they will make the playoffs this year. And Scott left off commercial break saying he thinks they're a legitimate shot to win the Super Bowl. Hey, Scotty, I have to buy into you. If Miles Garrett and that defense can take the next step this year, they were dominant for much of the first half of the season. Second half, they tailed off, especially in the playoff loss to the Houston Texans. But if they can rebound in a big way, they're going to be there. They get Nick Chubb that comes back from injury. You get Jerry Jeudy that's now teamed with his former teammate in Alabama, Amari Cooper. This could be a lethal offense. It all hinges on the success of Deshaun Watson. But I'm with you. I'm shocked that the books do have the Cleveland Browns at 20-1 to potentially win, you know, an AFC championship when you have the Jets and other teams ahead of them. It is a little disrespectful to Stefanski, especially knowing that he won Coach of the Year last year.
Yeah. Listen, their offense is halfway decent. Is it great? No. But you mentioned the names, and Njoku is the tight end, is obviously very good. Jeudy, is he great? Great? No. But you team up with Cooper, you know, and that's a pretty good 1-2 punch. And then you get Chubb. You got to assume or at least hope that he's back 100% from last year's injury. I mean, like a lot of teams, it all kind of falls on Deshaun Watson. But I love this NFC North. I love Cincinnati. I want to pick one more. And really, it's between Pittsburgh and Cleveland, and I'll go with the younger guy Deshaun Watson versus the older guy in Russell Wilson. So give me the Browns at 40-1. Their defense, for whatever reason, was atrocious on the road, but great at home. They need to rectify that. But if they do, you know, they're as good as team, you know, as anybody, I think, really, in the AFC. They just got to get Watson untracked a little bit. You know, his win-loss record is not bad with the Browns. It's just the numbers aren't the same. And when you saw Flacco last year, it was like, wow, okay, there you go. That's a quarterback, right? So he wasn't helped by Flacco being so good, but I do believe in him. You know, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid on him to turn his career around. It's been long enough now since all the other things off the field that there are no excuses. He's going to be in training camp and everything else. So I'm going to buy into the Browns as being that surprise team this year in the AFC.
Well, here's the thing, Scotty, twofold. I agree with you, okay? It poses the bigger question, though, too. If he doesn't succeed, Deshaun Watson, this year, does the team, in fact, move on from him because they're paying him a boatload of money? And if he can't throw for one 300-yard game while he's in a Browns uniform, what does that say big picture? Now you just basically have a game manager. Do you really need to pay, $281 million overall for a guy that throws for 200 yards per game and basically a 60% completion percentage? You're signing the guy to big money to potentially win a Super Bowl and take games over. And when you talk about Joe Flacco and Deshaun Watson, it's like night and day. Joe Flacco had four 300-yard games. Deshaun Watson has none in a year and a half in a Browns uniform. He made playmakers like Amari Cooper look like a star. David Njoku as well. I mean, Njoku was looked at as a blocking tight end, and Flacco gets him. He has 150 yards receiving in the first half in the win over the Jets. So I agree with you. I think he can rebound, but we need to see it before it happens. And secondly as well is, you know, when the books price these markets and you see Deshaun Watson at a 50-1 number to potentially lead the league in passing and being in the 30s and 40s for touchdown passes, it's basically saying he's got no shot to produce anywhere near what Flacco did last season.
Yeah. Well, they're locked in. They better hope he's successful because they have two more years. Don't forget, Joe. Remember, they backloaded the contract because they knew the first year in a Browns uniform he was going to get suspended. So they went out of their way to say, all right, we're not going to pay you basically anything the first year. So they put 5 years into four, not five into five. So his cap hit these next 3 years, $63+ million. I mean, and they guaranteed all this money. So if they were to get rid of him, forget, unless they were going to trade him, but I don't think anyone's going to trade him for that kind of money. So they're screwed. They're locked into him for the next three more seasons, this upcoming year and two more. So they better hope he's successful, at least somewhat successful. I would think jobs would be on the line. GM's jobs would be on the line, the whole kit and caboodle with Andrew Burry. And I don't, like I said, I don't think he's going to get fired anytime soon, but they better hope he comes through this year. And I do believe that that's one of the reasons why they didn't re-sign Flacco. That Flacco, as crazy as this may sound, was just too good last year. And fans saw that. And if Watson struggles a little bit, they did bring in Winston. So they have a halfway right. decent backup. But Flacco was so good last year that people would be crying for Flacco to start and not Watson.
Well, I want to read you the names, okay, of season passing leaders. Okay, and you tell me what this says about Deshaun Watson. Will Levis, 36-1. Bryce Young, that was absolutely atrocious last year, 38-1. Anthony Richardson, which didn't even play more than 10 games last year, 43-1. Old man Russell Wilson and the Pittsburgh Steelers, 45-1. Daniels and Lamar Jackson, 46-47-1. And then you have Deshaun Watson at 50-1. I mean, he added weapons. How could that be?
I'll give you one further. You buried the lead. Bryce Young is 38-1. Did you say Brown? Sorry.
Yeah.
38-1.
Yeah.
And Deshaun is 50. He can't be that bad, can he?
But that's what I'm saying.
He can't possibly be that bad. I mean, what happened to winning national championships at Clemson? Are those days that far gone because he got suspended a year?
So let me ask you this, Scotty. Okay, so his total this year, Deshaun Watson, 3,250.5 passing yards. Okay, so 3,251, you win the bet. It's minus right. 112 either way. Okay, in consideration, Bryce Young has 3,200.5. Now, I do believe that Dave Canales will elevate Bryce Young better than where Frank Reich, that gutless team, had him. But that's basically the same player. That you can't win games like that. Unbelievable. They're just going to run. We'll come back. We'll continue this conversation about the Cleveland Browns coming right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Rounding out the show, an hour flies by when Scotty and I are talking college and pro football. We left off talking about Deshaun Watson. I mean, Scotty, I'll give you one last take on that. Are you shocked that Bryce Young potentially has similar or better numbers and odds as it relates to Deshaun Watson? Again, I think there's upside for Bryce Young, but it's basically the same player. If you just look at the stats and you look at where the books have these prop bets, I mean, there's nothing, no difference between a potential all-pro and the second-year rookie, the second-year player out of Carolina.
It's amazing. Amazing. You look at last year, Joe, there was only one quarterback who played 16 games or more that didn't throw for more yards than what they're giving you right now with Deshaun Watson, and that's Bryce Young. And even Bryce Young, as you mentioned, has a bigger prop than Deshaun Watson. But that puts it into perspective. Oh, there were 17 quarterbacks. Well, 18. There were 18 quarterbacks that played 16 games or more, Young being the outlier, all, you know, 17 of the 18 all through for 3,300 yards or more. Gardner Minshew, you know, Lamar Jackson, who couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat. Your guy, Geno Smith, all through for over 3,300 yards, and yet they're giving you 32 and change with Watson. Because he's not healthy, because they're going to run the ball with Nick Chubb? That's, to me, an automatic play. You know he's going to start. Right? I mean, you know, he's going to get every benefit of the doubt. He's not getting yanked, barring an injury. So how's he not throwing for 3,300 yards?
All right, so here's – I know you love these. They put up the season specials for a majority of the teams.
Yeah.
All right, so here's big money. The Cleveland Browns to be 6-0 in the AFC North this year, 48-1.
I love the odds.
You love big money, Scotty. You
I
can't
do.
Get but 50-1 to be undefeated in the conference.
It's winning division. On the road, on the road and at home at Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and Cincinnati, huh? That's tough. Let's see, you know, real quickly. Initially, I would say no, but if the Browns, like, if they could go 2-0, if they have two of those games at home, then we could start hedging a little bit. Let's see, they got Dallas, no, blah, 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 blah. Cincinnati, Baltimore at home. Their first two in that little six-game sequence is at home. In fact, the first three are at home. Ooh, they got Pittsburgh at home before they have to play these three teams.
I got some curiosity in you.
I'm going to put a couple shekels on that one.
All right,
yes.
So here's one more. The biggest number on the board. Cleveland to score one rushing touchdown in every game, 95-1. Hey, Chubb is back. They love to run it. If Deshaun Watson's not going to put up numbers, why not almost 100-1?
I like that one. I love those. My favorite ones are, will they score a touchdown in every game in a lot of these? And then in this case, with Chubb running or throwing, but this Browns would be running to me. So I bet they did it even without Chubb. I bet they did it in darn near every single game last year.
Got one more for you, Scotty. We'll head over to the South, okay? Indianapolis, Jonathan Taylor. To score 15-plus rushing touchdowns in the regular season, 9-1.
15 rushing or just 15 total?
No, 15 rushing.
Ooh. So the receiving obviously doesn't count then. 15, huh? That's a lot of touchdowns. 9-1?
I would take that.
I need something more than that.
Jonathan Taylor, they're going to pound the rock. Even though
he had seven last year. Well,
yeah,
he didn't play
a majority of the year, though. He was banged up.
Yeah. Yeah, they got rid of Zach Moss, too, so it's clearly his show. So, but 15, that's basically one a game. That's tough. I need more than 9-1 on that one.
You need more than 9-1. All right, we talked about Jacksonville earlier in the show. I'll give you the biggest one. Ready? Jacksonville. To score one field goal in every regular season game, 22-1.
Ooh, I'll take that. With that offense, should be able to move the football, but could it bog down in the red zone? Absolutely. I think points are going to be scored. 20+1 for a field goal? I like that. That's pretty good.
Okay, I'll take you.
On
I'll
grass,
give you
too.
One.
Yeah, weather's I'll not a concern one. For home games? Go ahead.
No. I'll give you one. Brian Thomas to score 10+ receiving touchdowns. The star rookie from LSU, 6-1. Love that bet. For our great producer, Danny Ohlers and Scott Wetzel, I'm Joe Lisi. Have a great weekend, everyone. We'll see you next week.